אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We're reading Kabbalah for the student.
ניתן לשאול שאלות באתר קבלה לעם, kab.co.il, שאלות תבחרות תשאלנה במהלך השיעור.
Page 132. Kabbalah for the student 132, introduction to the book of Zohar, starting with the words and we have.
ומטרם י"ג שנה לא יצויר
שום גילוי starting with item for 44 from the top. Prior to the 13 years, there cannot be any emergence of the point in one's heart. But after 13 years, when he begins to delve in Torah and mitzvot, even without any intention, meaning without any love and fear, as is fitting when serving the king, even in lo lishma, the point in one's heart begins to grow and disclose its action, which means that if a person comes to the group and is integrated as much as he can, as much as his ego, however much his understanding allows him, in the group, in the teaching, in whatever happens, the atmosphere, the environment, that society starts influencing him, and he starts going through different states. It doesn't happen immediately, but one way or another it starts. The truth is that the states he goes through, they start immediately only. They start from beneath the threshold from which he starts feeling something, meaning that he doesn't feel them yet. The states a person goes through, they're going on every moment. Spiritual states, everything, but he does not identify them. And gradually, they accumulate more and more until he does start feeling the changes that he's undergoing. The ascents, the descents, different thoughts about different states and so on, and that's how he advances. So that is what he means by saying that the mitzvot need no intention. Even the actions which he takes in uniting with the group and so on, where he doesn't even understand yet why, what, how. We know that you can read about it for years until you start understanding what you're reading, until the heart gives you some kind of a response to what you're reading. A lot of time goes by, and that means that the mitzvot need no intention, meaning that he has no deficiency as to what to aim for. Deficiency means that I'm aiming it toward a specific goal, that it is specifically towards the goal, the purpose of creation, the creator through the group, and this is how I'm going to attain it, through the love of the creatures, to the love of the creator. The way it's supposed to be. And even if we don't have that, we are still undergoing a process, undergoing treatment. We're treated by the higher light. And even our smallest participation in the group, in the teaching, it already draws the reforming light. So don't be despaired. Through that light, we'll get the right kind of intention, and corresponding to that intention, we increase our participation many folds over. Amikam, yes. We learn that there isn't a bit of in spirituality, meaning it has to be something whole, something complete, for the better or for the worse. And we also know from our acquaintance in the group that there are those that pull more, pull less. How is it possible to relate to these different measures that you have in the group in terms of absolute? wise guy. Really, I'm sorry that I have to say this. So say, why are you saying that there is not a bit of in spirituality? Why not immediately the final correction? Because the final correction is something all imperfect. So answer, please, go ahead. You can look at it from the other point, from the other side. No, no such thing as you can. Right. Until you complete the full measure, there is no final correction. That is the conclusion. And also according to each and every measure. It's the same. So how is it that there is a certain measure in the group and another one in each one and on every stage it has a measure of its own because that's how the Rishimot are realized. It's the ladder of degrees when a great Kli is broken into pieces and each piece has a measure of its own, it has different manners and fashions and ways and forms of connections of its own and measures of its own and certain measure that it has to achieve and so on. And we say that there is no a bit of, meaning that if you've corrected 9 parts out of 10, nothing's going to happen. Only when you complete that 10th part does something happen, and that's how it is with everything. If you find an electron from atom, does it exist per se? If there are another 400 pieces in that atom where all of these parts down to the last detail have to fit in their place, otherwise it's not called an atom. And the atom as a unit, and out of that unit of atoms, there are greater compounds up to molecules and up to a whole body. But each one of them has to be in its full measure, to its full extent, in the smallest measure, but complete. It's neither 10 nor 11, but it's 10, down to the last tiniest micron.
There is a certain dualism here. On the one hand, everyone has to be as one man with one heart in order to receive the Torah. On the other hand, it is enough that one can decide the whole world, not only his neighborhood.
Anyone.
Right, any one of those. So how can this be explained?
You can explain that. It's not something that you can grasp with your mind. It's not like math where you can make 1 plus 1. It's not 1 plus 1. It's a different kind of math. Did you study other kinds of math?
I learned mainly other mathematics. Mathematics itself, I haven't studied it at all.
Sit down. Nothing to add here. Please keep on reading. Yes, Owen?
You said to not be despaired because by working in the right group, the reforms will come and correct everything.
Besides that, there are several conditions. If in a group, everyone more or less agrees about the direction and don't resist and don't slander, which is the main thing, the slander. You remember what Tharabash and Bala Sulam write about it? If there are no such, then the reforming light. Otherwise, that light, it gives you darkness, that you're like bats. If you're a bat, then for you it's darkness. The more you study, the more the opposite, the stronger the opposite grows. Let's continue, or?
And we've also said that now we will have next weekend a connection between the man, which has to come and correct the destructive powers that were revealed.
At least among the men, yes.
Maybe you can slightly be more, can define what are these destructive forces, because there are different forces that can relate to as destructive, so I might be mistaken, so I'd like you to define it more clearly.
destructive forces are forces that are not aimed through Israel, Olaita, and Kutcha Brichu are one. Kutcha Brichu is the extent of bestowal that we want to achieve, that we want to come to. Olaita, the Torah, it's called the force that brings us together to a one body where we lose the self of each and every one, and all of us reach or become as one man and one heart. And Israel is the one that tries to aim himself at that, and the reforming light comes as a result of studying together in the group, wanting to realize it, and then you're advancing in that direction toward this term or definition of being as one, a force that is not targeted at uniting with others, that is involved in isolating itself, that they have a different opinion. That is a destructive force. That is the serpent. And every time its head pops out and swallows up all that we do. This is why I'm extremely worried. I don't want to elaborate about this, but it says about it that it says about this in all the articles. This is why I believe in the friends that are here all around the world, the men. I'm afraid for those who are influenced by alien opinions. Yes, Vladimir.
I think that the game that we've started, this exercise of tens, can be a good preparation for the general connection next week. And for the time being, the game is completely virtual. Everyone are afraid, even in the emails when we were written that we're 10, we don't even know who these 10 are. We don't know these people. 10 people, and not everyone really know each other. And only 3 people answered an email, meaning shown they participate, at least in my group. I think if we're going till the end, we can't do. We have to talk about the purpose of the association and to speak about the reason for life and so on.
Okay, fine. You have to organize that. We're now studying from the introduction to the Book of Zohar, and this is not something that I want to be engaged in. It has nothing to do with the lesson. A lesson is a lesson. I can answer a short, concrete question, but how to organize your society, this is something that you have to answer for yourself. Just like Kabbalists wrote us in their articles how you're supposed to do it. It has nothing to do with the teaching. It has to do with your inner organization before the teaching, after the teaching, that we have to help each other create the group or build the group this way. Please go ahead. But it's not my business. This is something that you have to do. Go ahead.
I just want to add that you shouldn't wait until these problems will vanish and you won't have any more problems, because you will have more problems, both qualitatively and quantitatively. You will have more, because without it, one cannot rise. But in each and every phase, you have to answer it accordingly. Break his teeth, as it is said. Sharpen his teeth.
Well.
And
השיעור שמתאר חלק הדומם של הרצון לקבל, בשיעור הזה הוא הולך ובונה את התריה גברים.
And we have stated that which is the domem of nefesh of kedusha. Then, when he completes the 613 organs, they complete the whole body, which is the Dumim, the Nefesh, the Kedusha. And when one completes all 613 mitzvot in action, it completes the 613 organs in the point in the heart, which is the still category of the Nefesh of Kedusha, whose 248 spiritual organs are built by keeping the 248 positive mitzvot, and its 365 spiritual tendons are built through observing the 365 negative mitzvot until it becomes a complete potzuf of nefesh of Kedusha. Then the nefesh arises and clothes in the sphira of Malchut and the spiritual world of Asiya, and all the spiritual elements of still, vegetative, and animate in that world, which correspond to the spirit of Malchut of Asiya, serve and aid that partsuf of nefesh of one who has risen there, to the extent that the soul perceives them. Those concepts become its spiritual nourishment, giving its strength to grow and multiply until it can extend the light of the Sfira of Malchut of Asiya. Dennis from Moscow is asking, what is the complete measure?
Receiving the change. We don't know what that is. I've labored and I've found in each and every phase. And if I exert and exert and exert and suddenly a new state jumps, then that's called that I've exerted enough. And it is judged only according to the response. I don't know how to give a certain number. There's no counter. There's no any discernment, specific discernment I can apply to. Because we're going above reason. We're going in bestowal. And bestowal, there are no measurements. In bestowal, the measurement is always in the desire to receive. In bestowal, you have only a measurement with respect to revelation. This is why it is always, I have labored and I have found. The finding is the examination. That's how you know you found, when you find it. Yes, Leo.
What is the organ of the point in the heart? He talks about the organs of the point in the heart.
Parts from the desire to receive. Guf, body, is the desire to receive. Sometimes he says guf, body. Sometimes he says lev, heart. Sometimes he says ratzon, desire. But we're talking about the same. The desire to receive that is being corrected. Well, actually, there are both the individual and the collective. When working with respect to the small individual of the individual part from the desire to receive, the general desire to receive is also being corrected because there's mutual intermingling and incorporation. It's very difficult to measure this in spirituality, just like when we study that each and every reshimo. When we refer to it, we're saying that a reshimo is a small fragment of the whole picture, on the one hand. On the other hand, we're saying, no, the Rishimo includes the whole of reality, only in a very small extent. It's very blurred. That's a small Rishimo. And when it's slightly more revealed, but entirely revealed, right? But more, a clearer picture, that's a bigger Rishimo. And when everything is completely clear, that's the end of correction. So sometimes we refer to it as being something small and gradually growing more and more in measures of a small part that goes and grows. But we need to understand that in spirituality, all these measurements are qualitative and not quantitative. Yes.
One more question about the definition he mentions here. He says that all the parts of the spiritual, still vegetative and animate, they complete the paltzuf of nefesh de adam. What does this mean, the details of the still vegetative and spiritual animate?
Shoresh, aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, are all, they're all connect together to that exertion that a person gave. And even though we exert only regarding the intention and the part of Adam within us, but all the forms of the inanimate, vegetative life, and meaning all the levels, besides the level of the speaking, where we're managed without having a free choice, just like your body, or just like it's in nature, These parts are incorporated in our work together with us, even though we're being operated by these degrees, but we don't really influence them directly. It's like he's writing in the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, that the inanimate, vegetative, and live, and living, they rise and descend alongside with the human being.
So in spirituality as well, there are things that we do without any free choice?
Of course. Yes, just like in our world. In our world, it's a very precise replication from spirituality. The inanimate, vegetative, and living in spirituality, those that do not belong to the level of the human being, those angels, those different animals of sanctity, and different things we read about in the Zohar, you don't need to work on regarding them, to them. You need to work only with respect to the degree of Adam. This is why our work is first and foremost the scrutiny, and only then there is the clarification and the correction. Meaning, the scrutiny, where should I really exert myself? Where I truly make a difference? Where I truly activate the system? And where I don't? The most important thing is to define where I can work and where I cannot. And in a place where I can work to invest.
It says here that to the extent to which he purifies the still part of the will to receive, when he completes all the 613 mitzvot and the 613 organs in the heart are completed. What does it mean that he completes all the 613 mitzvot and the 613 organs of the point in the heart, and then talks about the 248 parts and the 365 according to mitzvot that you do and don't do, and so on?
We learn that the entire, the general collective desire is made of many desires. Where does this division into plenty of individual private desires in different waves and forms comes from? This happens as a result of the entrance of the light within the desire. And the light, the nature of the light, is outer bestowal. And the nature of the desire is pure reception. And when the light and the desire were connected in different opposite forms during the breakage, then all the lights were incorporated with all the desires, with the individual desires, in various connections, such kinds of connections that there's not even a number that can define this, the combinatorics of this connection. Combinations, yeah, that's what we were looking for, combinations. An endless amount of combinations, and as a result we have different differences in understandings and attainments and clarifications and sounds and colors and scents and more and more and more. Out of the fact that there are different combinations of connections between the lights and desires. Now, why? Because especially out of the multitude, we start to reveal the Creator. Otherwise, we would never reveal Him. Otherwise, we would have felt ourselves as the still of the still, in Malchut Ein Sof. But by this variety, when I'm able to peel off all the differences that appear in different forms of lights and vessels, I start to reveal the Creator against the creature, the existence from existence out of the existence from absence, Kli and the light, the light and the darkness. And this is our work, and this is why we have billions of connections in every moment, and it's up to the smallest details. Just imagine yourself how much matter you have in the entire universe, and let's say that each and every gram of this matter has to be sorted by you. It's like a work that might take an endless amount of years, right? No. No. As a result of the incorporation, there are things here that we haven't discussed yet. It's difficult for us to even digest it, but the matter of incorporation allows you to work in all directions simultaneously. As a result of one small action, you bring about billions of results in various directions throughout the entire Malchut.
And what does the meaning of the 248 mitzvot of do and don't do, and that the 365 and so on?
That's as we studied, and it's divided into Gulgaltenem and the Chab. The each and every desire is divided into 613 desires. By the way, the Zohar is giving us very nice explanations of why is it Tariag and Tarach and Shasa different things. An explanation regarding all these numbers. And all in all, it is 613 desires, even 620 desires within the desire to receive, and we should correct them all. So when we correct them and bestow in order to bestow, that's called each and every desire. There are no desires that are only to bestow, and these desires are to receive in order to bestow. There's no such thing. In each and every desire, there's also an inner division into this and that, because you don't have less than 10 sefirot in every desire. And you will divide it, and you will again see 10 individual sefirot, and again 10 individual sefirot, meaning you should always correct both Galgal Te'enayim and Achap. Galgal Te'enayim are Ramach organs, and Achap are Shasa Gidim. And how do you recognize them? You don't recognize them at all for the time being. When I correct a certain desire, now I don't correct those 248 or 365. I don't know. It's I don't have this within me. So what can I do? So later when we advance, we start to scrutinize and to identify smaller and more gentle and inner more parts, but all these parts we differentiate them because we can differentiate between reception and bestowal in each and every one of them. The desire that I recognize as existing already spiritually wise when it's one of the 613 desires is only a corrected desire. Before I correct it, I do not recognize no 613 desires. That's a certain monster, a pharaoh, and that's it. And I cannot scrutinize too much in it. And when I identify it, I do so only with respect to the forms by which I can influence that desire on top of my desire to receive. And then I discern different manners within that desire. Before the light comes, I cannot do it, meaning it is already discerned and bestowed. Beforehand, what we had in Egypt was these 10 blows, that's it.
The process you've just described, it's called keeping the mitzvot to do and not to do?
Yes, this already happens in the desert. This is why we always make mistakes again, again, and again, and we scrutinize again and again, and there's another problem. Yes. Yes.
There is one more term that he mentions here, that after we keep the 613 mitzvot and we build the 613 organs of the point in the heart until it becomes a complete partzuf of the nefesh of Kedusha. What is this term, partzuf?
A structure. It's like a fetus. It's like something that exists.
Why? Why is it called partzuf?
No, because it's already a certain extent of a desire to receive that has the light of life. Something that shines, it's already a face, partzuf. It's something, it has something. That's why that's called a partzuf. A measure of bestowal, an extent of bestowal, of resemblance to the Creator. That's a partzuf. Yes. No, pass on the mic fast, please.
This process in which the point takes on the form and the organs and the partsuf is built, the higher degree, the upper level builds that, right? The higher degree passes it through this whole process.
So what?
Does the point in the heart need to want it?
Of course, that every lower is managed by an upper. And so what?
And this point, how does it allow this change to happen?
By raising one.
It has to know what it wants to change in it, what kind of an organ to grow in it, and so on.
Of course.
It's with intention or without intention? Because he says that even without intention.
Without an intention means that there's not the desirable intention to bestow, but one yearns to reach this intention.
And previously you've described this one small action that can speed up the whole process as a result of the integration. Is that the right intention?
The right intention is that I want to cling onto the group. And I want that by doing so, I will reach adhesion with the Creator, and by doing so I will know everything, understand everything, I'll feel myself secure, and I'll feel good, and I want to complete this until as long as I'm living here in this world physically, and different other such things. I just want. Even if I just want to bestow completely, and I will have, and I'll remain with nothing, I will eventually reveal that that's not exactly what I want, that I want all this only for self-profit. That's called without an intention. Because my intention is for myself, like usually, like always. That's called without an intention. And we're not talking about when there's no intention. There is no action that is not without an intention. But the action with an intention to delight myself is called without an intention.
So the point actually discovers that the desire to get to know the process throughout which it's being grown, it also wants to get to know that process for its own pleasure.
Correct. That's why that's called without an intention. That's it. Enough. First of all, you should think. Go ahead.
And we have stated on page 132, and we have stated that immediately at the birth of one's body, a point of the light of Nefesh is born and dressed in him. So it is here when his partsuf of Nefesh of Kedusha is born, a point from its adjacent higher degree is born with it, the last degree of the light of Ruach of Asiyah, and dresses inside the partsuf of Nefesh. And so it is in all the degrees. With each degree that is born, the last discernment of the degree above, it instantaneously appears within it. This is because this is the whole connection between higher and lower through to the top of the degrees. Thus, through this point which exists in it from the upper one, it becomes able to rise to the next higher degree. He says that immediately as man's body is born, dresses in him the point of Nefesh. What is the birth of man's body?
The birth of man's body is when a person starts to feel his desire to receive in general, that he's found in a certain spiritual state, and he has this point of Nefesh in which he starts to feel his extent of adhesion to bestow, to the Creator. We're talking only about a force, the force of desire, and the intention one has with respect to that force. The force of the desire in general is called guf, the body, and the point of adhesion, the point of intention, is called the point of nefesh, the point of the soul within a person. What is this nefesh? Meaning, the extent to which I'm directed above my desire to receive, which is called the guf, to bestow. That's the extent of my nefesh, of my soul for the time being.
The will to receive, that's called guf, it's the will to receive what? In general or something specific?
That's the same desire to receive that I have restricted, that I have lost, that I've worked, that I've
processed.
That I've processed, and now it is under the intention to bestow, but only on the level of nefesh, and the intensity of nefesh, of Aviyud HaShorash.
So the body is the restricted will to receive, and the point is the point of bestow?
Of course, we're not talking about my desire to receive with respect to different things that I... we're referring to the desire to receive that is found under the Masach, and the intention to bestow. And there is other desires to receive which do not belong to the guf, to the body, for the time being, that are below the guf. Just as we study, and let's say that below the end of all the worlds, there is this world. Do you remember from the drawings when the siyum, the end of Galgalta, ends, and below it there's something else? What is that something else? It is not found not in sanctity nor in the shell, because sanctity and the shell is only with respect to the Creator, and there below the siyum of Galgalta, it has nothing to do with the Creator. And so how does it exist? It exists in detachment. That's exactly, according to this scale, this is where these desires are at.
Furthermore, he writes that any degree that was born immediately, the final discernment from the higher to it level comes out immediately. And he says that then it is capable of rising to the following degree. In our group, is there the point of the higher degree?
There has to be. Even in a normal person, regular person, a person in whom the point in the heart was not revealed yet, the point in the heart is the part from the higher degree around which the higher degree will be later accumulated, and he will eventually rise to the level of Adam. It's always this way. There's no advancement without it, no development. I'll tell you even more, that where from do we have the development of the inanimate, the vegetative, and the living, even in just normal, regular evolution, if there's no such thing, if the upper light doesn't influence them also and promote them from a lower to a higher, more level, the law is one with respect to all parts of creation. We're only talking about the desire that has the ability to resemble to the Creator. But in all the rest of the layers of the desire that was created, also there are the same processes, only without the addition of a chishena, of hastening it. That's it.
So there is the point from the higher level in the group.
Of course we do. We have to depict it before yourselves, that it's the connected group, the nice group that is found in unity, in connection, and that is bonded. That's what you have to build. That's what you have to imagine, as if it already exists. You need to bow before this image. Of course. Just like a child, when he plays, acts as if he's a grown-up. If you don't have this image before you, which you want to grow into, you don't grow. You're not a child. Look what he writes about the child in the Zohar. Of course. How can it be possible without seeing something before you? Not just to see something before you, but to feel that you already have to be in it. I already want to be in that state already. Oh, I have to be there. I'm dying to be there, to whatever will happen, I have to find myself there. Look at a child, and if he's excited by something, he doesn't hear anything. He doesn't see anything. He lost it, as we're saying. He sees only this before him, what he wants, now, and that's it. So what is, how can you ask, where is this higher form of the group? It should always be before me, in front of me. Yes.
What does it mean to bow to it?
That it's more important than anything else I have in life. That's called to bow before it. What, Bensi?
To continue Owen's question, today you talked about the nullification of the ego, the inner most precious point that a person has. How does that help us reach that higher point? What does it mean, the inner most precious thing of mine?
My deepest point is my I, myself. What else? You don't think that it's so? That's how I think. What do I have in this whole reality that is more precious than me? Is there something else? There's none. No, there's none. You don't know yet how much I shall rule. In a form that nothing can stand even close to it. Nothing. You usually, that's our mistake. You usually compare and measure everything with respect to your corporeal, physical, bestial life and death. So you're saying, okay, so I let go on life. Let's say, now something comes, okay, I let go on life. If something will happen there, I can also let go. So what? Kesara sara. But it is not the right, these are not the right measurements, because it's a beast. And with respect to it, there are many people in the world who can just let go of their lives, and that's it. Just like, look what happens in the street, in the world. When you start to measure your life with respect to spirituality and eternity, that this is what you have to give up on. You see that you're unable to do it. You're unable to do it. And there is where your true self is. This is why I'm telling you that you cannot give up on yourself, then believe me, this is so. You just haven't measured it with respect to your eternal life. With respect to this life, that's there are plenty of people in the world that would have easily given up. Now or 20 years from now, what's the difference? To suffer less and so on. There are many such calculations. Look what happens on the internet. You have whole groups of people who speak about how to die easily and quietly, and it attracts many people. These are wrong measurements. We have to add this to the equation, that when we speak, when these books refer to something, they refer to the eternity and the power of the true creation, and not the beast-style functioning of your beast. Yes.
It seems that in order to give this self up, where each one of us grabs hold onto something that he's not ready to give up, you need, in order to do this, you need such a safe environment that you can rely yourself on.
Then we understand only the light can help, only from above. Until we don't reach these discernments, we are immersed in lie. We think that it's all measured with respect to our corporeal life. But when we start to measure to compare it to spiritual discernments, then there it becomes horrible. What kind of annulment can one reach? So, yes. What does happen is that then you see that you have to have an intervention of an upper force here, something that is beyond me, higher than me. And you start to understand that there is a place for a higher dominion, something we haven't felt before. These are new discernments. What's up with you today? I understand Amikam, but yes.
Since Pesach, almost every day there is a lesson that every lesson is better than the previous one. And we went through many states. It seems to me like Passover was years ago. I have this special file on my MP3 player, and, you know, I can't choose what lesson's better. So the question is, what's going on? Why did we merit? What does this necessitate us to do? How to make it increase? How to make so that we'll be in constant inner work between the lessons? How to be worthy of these pipes of abundance that are opening up?
Look. We're truly privileged with very fast and nice advancement. As more powerful it will be sharper, and it will demand more powers and devotion. We are privileged to have this, not because we're so strong or good, we have nothing. That we can point on and say that it's special, that we've excelled somewhere. Rather, we were chosen from above. We were chosen to be the owners of the method, of correction. There's nothing to take pride of here, but there's a very serious role here. And according to the extent that we'll understand it, feel it, and accept it, and we'll make calculations not with respect to ourselves, but with respect to the upper force and the lower ones, that we need to be the transition between these two, the upper force and the humanity, then we'll advance faster and in a tempo that we will be able to tolerate. And if we won't do it, we're still advancing according to the program of the Creator and according to the need of the creatures below, because we're in between. And what will happen to us in good or bad states, whatever has to happen in order to perform the right transition between the light and the broken vessels. This is why it is worthwhile for us to understand which work we're immersed in, who are we serving, so that we have to really take this in full seriousness. I really hope that the convention that we're going to have, with God's help, next weekend, and then the convention in the United States, and all our work and the lessons that we're going to have both in Shabbat, everything will eventually allow the light, a place, a channel, to influence both those who are found in the society and in the community and need to change. And we all need to change ourselves, but not to truly change. There are such people who are really opposite from our path, and we need to make these corrections as fast as possible. And we'll do it.
So, have a great day and a great night.
Let your heart speak. Let your heart listen. Shoulder to shoulder. You won't be alone. Love is around. The deepest ocean. Together we're drawn in. I won't let go. It feels moment when we are together.